Welcome back to a mental health break. I'm your host and author of the book, Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, Vincent A. Lancey.
And I'm Kimberly Tomlinson.
We have a mental health advocate joining us today from London who also has her own practice. Get ready for a ton of knowledge. When I was a college student, I was the victim of a hit-and-run accident while on foot. After coming out of a coma and suffering from a traumatic brain injury, or you may know of as a TBI, I soon realized it was time to put my mental health on a very high pedestal. This transformative experience has led me to create this podcast that is all things mental health. Would it add value to your life to hear mental health professionals and advocates share their authentic stories relating to mental health? If you answered yes, you came to the right place. I want to start by congratulating you for making your mental health a priority. This week's guest is someone who I connected with on social media when I came across her brand, Tomlinson Talks. She graduated with a bachelor's degree in counseling and psychotherapy, professional practice from the University of Salford in Manchester. She specializes in person-centered therapy, and this is one of the cores of her practice. She has also gained additional training and knowledge in other types of therapy, such as cognitive behavioral therapy or CBT, mindfulness, and others. I experienced CBT during my time at the hospital, so I'm interested in learning more from today's guest. She comes on the show with experience with everything from self-esteem to trauma, education, and abuse. Get ready to level up your mental health and allow me to now introduce Kimberly Tomlinson. Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners before we dive in and get going without giving away too much of your mental health journey?
Okay. So my name is Kim. I'm a psychotherapist or psychotherapeutic counselor. So I have my own private practice, which I started about a year and a half ago after I finished uni, because I decided that I kind of want to work for myself so that I can be the therapist that I wanted to be for my clients, not necessarily just work for an organization, because obviously they have their own rules and stuff. So it's allowed me to work with clients from different backgrounds. Sexuality is just so many like different people, and it's definitely shaped the person I am and helped me out massively. Going from client to client and hearing different people's stories, it's been a blessing.
Well, thank you for sharing that introduction. I think we're ready to get into the main event. On each episode, my guest and I will go over this series of questions to help others improve their mental health. You ready to go?
Yep, sure.
Many would agree that the more common or talked about types of mental health disparities are mood disorders, anxiety disorders, or schizophrenia disorders. Which areas did you come across the most?
I would say, those are kind of more clinical, and even though they do sometimes play a part in my clients' stories, I would say I kind of work with more personal, circumstantial stuff. I think anxiety disorders, definitely. Anxiety plays a massive role, and usually with anxiety comes its best friend depression. So I would say, and I say to my clients, like, they kind of come hand in hand, and it's very rare to find one without the other. But when I say I work with like personal situations, I kind of more so focus on my clients, the kind of person that they are, the kind of person that they want to be. Like some people have specific reasons why they come to therapy, and some people just kind of want to run through their life and kind of see like, this happened, why? I reacted in this way, why? And I think we can always usually find out why. When we kind of delve in. So person-centered therapy is more so, you can be in the present, future, and or the past, whereas I think so CBT, which is something that I'm trained in, like you said, kind of deals with whatever the presenting issues are currently. And it doesn't really give the space to go back into the past, because it's kind of a solution-focused idea. Like, this is your problem, let's fix it, and you move forward.
I love it. And did you always want to choose this profession? Did you always want to study this in college, or did something change while you were in college?
Do you know what? I think, so I was always trying to think back to like why I decided to become a therapist. And I think my the only thing I can remember is I used to love getting magazines when I was a kid. And I used to always go to the back, which has like the like Ask Shirley, like, you know, when people like submit questions and they get answers, and that's basically all I would buy magazines for. And that's, I think that's the start of it, I think. And I really enjoyed like reading people's answers, and I always wanted to submit. And then I decided I wanted like an Ask Shirley column, except my name's not Shirley, but you know, that kind of stuff. And from that came, I think I took a break. Then I decided I want to be an actor or an actress, because, you know, what kid doesn't? But then when I took a gap year before I actually went to uni, and I was working with disabled children. And one, I realized I'm very empathic. I knew that anyway, but that made me realize it a lot more, because I was kind of able to get on like each kid's level. So all of my all of the children that I worked with are so different, right? But I was able to have like my own special bond with them, because I kind of understood them, or I got on their level whereby I could communicate with them the way that they wanted to be heard and received. And that, I think that helped me massively as well.
Yeah, I always love getting my listeners involved and learning on my guests when they first decide that a career relating to mental health was for you. And so that started a little bit ago.
Like, yeah, just a minute. I don't know. I would say that would be it. But and then I used to work in a respite home. And then so you'd meet like their parents, and you see that when you have a child, so some parents have normal children as well as children with disabilities, and you could see the kind of mental struggle that it took on them. And then when you just sat and spoke to them, like, I don't know, I guess I just wanted to hug them and just kind of be there for them and kind of just help them with their kids. And I like when children either learned my name or I like taught them something new, like it just made me so happy that I could help that particular individual and make them kind of either help them develop. And I think especially when you go out with disabled children as well, like not all children look like physically right. disabled. So then you would see people say we went to an amusement park and they'd be kicking off because they're autistic and they have sensory and stuff. And you see people looking at them kind of like, what's wrong with your kid? And then when they realize that actually that child is disabled, then you see like this look of pity on their face. And at first it used to annoy me, but then I realized it's more so like, these children don't know any different. Like the life that me and you live, so be it they could, like, obviously we can walk. If they're in a wheelchair, they've never walked. So they don't know that they're missing out on that. So I think that made me kind of want to focus on working with clients individually and going with their story and being in their shoes and working with how they wanted to kind of do things.
It's a very inspirational beginning. I appreciate you sharing that. But if you could pick two, and I say just two, because I want your most important answers, what would the two most important things that our listeners can do on both a daily or short-term basis and a long-term basis to improve their mental health? Please start with short-term.
Short-term, I would say probably the easiest is to check in with yourself. Now, it seems super simple, but you'd be surprised how hard it is to do that. We kind of wake up and go about our day. Mm-hmm. So I would say learning to check in with yourself and seeing how you feel can definitely help you in the long run, like throughout your day. Like if you wake up and you're feeling, I don't know, tired or emotional or vulnerable, then you can put things in your day to kind of either stop you from having a quote unquote breakdown. But I think if you learn to check in with yourself and you learn to kind of identify how you're feeling from the morning time, then you can be like, okay, cool. You know, for lunch, I'm going to have my favorite because I'm feeling shit today. So I'm going to put something in my day to make me feel better. And then you have something to look forward to. Jeremy, you're just like that little bit happier. But that can all start from something as simple as just checking in with yourself.
Yeah, it's very important just to stay grounded. Life can get really busy and chaotic. So sometimes it's good to take a deep breath and really reevaluate what's going on. What's the next one you have for our listeners?
Long term. I would say the long term one is to learn yourself. Now, you'd be surprised how many people don't actually know themselves. We know what we're like, but when we can learn things about ourselves, it allows us to kind of put boundaries in place. And boundaries are so, so, so important for protecting ourselves or protecting our mental health. And when you learn how you react in different situations, you're less likely to find yourself in situations that are going to upset you, or less likely to find yourself introducing people in your life who aren't going to be beneficial to you, that can kind of send you into emotional turmoil. So I'd say the minute you learn yourself, you'd be it would just be a lot better for you. You can learn your emotions, because off the bat, people think, okay, cool, like I'm sad or I'm irritated or I'm angry, but kind of where does that come from? And also, can you, when you're feeling those like strong range of emotions, can you actually separate them? Because some people cry when they're feeling something negative. And is it because you're sad? Is it because you're frustrated? Is it because you're like, I mean, there's so many range of emotions. So when you can kind of understand yourself that little bit better, you know how to deal with yourself better. You can be compassionate towards yourself. You know whether or not you want to be around people, whether or not you do want to go out, whether or not you do want to do something. And you're less likely to find yourself again in situations that aren't great for you mentally.
If someone came into your practice with this exact scenario, what would be the first thing you tell them to do, the first step?
The analogy that I use with my clients is, okay, if you're sat at a table and the table is empty, what can you put on that table for yourself? I like that. You know, because I just, food analogies work for me, slash metaphors work for me. But I'm like, if you're sat at the table and the table is empty, what can you put on that table for yourself that you know that you can kind of, you know, reach out and get? Like, what is it about you that you like? What is it about you that you dislike? You know what I mean? Like, I would say that's probably the easiest thing. Sit down with yourself at a metaphorical table and think, what's on this table for me, solely just me? Like, what do I bring to this table? Because that means you won't really allow anybody else to kind of mess with your table. Do you know what I mean? Like, if someone comes into your life and they're like, okay, cool, I've got empathy. Do you already have empathy? So are you adding to my life? Are you subtracting from my life? I think it's just like little things like that.
Yeah. Thank you for elaborating on that. I know that's going to help our listeners, and that's a great first long-term initiative. I don't know how you're going to follow that up, but I'm interested to hear your second one.
I would say boundaries again, to be honest. I think boundaries are so important personally, because it makes a difference on who you have in your life, and it makes a difference on what you tolerate. And obviously not everyone wants to blame the people that are in their life. It's very easy, normal for people to kind of internalize that and put it on themselves. But when I ask my client, okay, cool, but is it like, are you projecting, or is someone making you feel this way? Do you like feeling this way? Like, what is it about this feeling that makes you feel uncomfortable? What is it about this person that's making you feel uncomfortable? When you learn your boundaries and you learn kind of your standpoints and you learn to stick to your boundaries, you're just a lot safer and you're a lot happier. You're less likely to question the people that you have in your life. You're less likely to question your actions. And I think people have an issue with putting up boundaries because for some reason in our society, I think being like choosing ourselves over the other people have an issue with. It's basically classed as being selfish. And I think when you don't have boundaries, you're easy to kind of bend over backwards to anybody and just help everybody, which is fine within reason. But like, are you giving more of yourself than that person potentially deserves? Are you giving more of it that yourself than that? Than you have inside of you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to give 100% to every single person, because when you're done, you're left empty. So it's about putting those boundaries in place so people know, okay, cool. You know what? I'm feeling tired today. I don't want to go out. You can say that and someone's not going to be like, oh my God, like, why are you being this way? Like, why don't you want to help me? And it's just like, no, actually I want to help me. Mm-hmm. So respect my boundaries and back off.
Very, very well said. And that can help a lot of people. Again, thank you for such two valuable long-term initiatives. Let's look into the future, Kimberly. What are some ways you plan on raising awareness for the importance of mental health in the future?
So what I started, which I think is like what I potentially met you on, is, so I have a page called the Mental Health and Me Project. And I decided that I wanted to do that project. I want to make it a long-term project firstly, and I wanted to do that because I think at the moment everything is very much like it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's really just it, which I agree with. Sometimes, you know what, you have to be compassionate with yourself, and if you're having like a crap day, then you just are. But I feel like what happens after that point, like you see celebrities and you're like, oh my God, like they've had depression and I've had depression, so like depression's okay. Not really, you know what I mean? Experiencing that is normal because life is a roller coaster, but it's not okay to just sit in it. I think that's the part where people like missing, like, oh, I did ABCD, or I've been through ABCD, or like, oh, I've had eating disorders, yada yada. Normalizing mental health in that conversation, yes, but let's not normalize just sitting with our mental health and kind of hoping that life kind of helps us out, because life is kind of what puts us in that situation firstly. So I think what I wanted from the Mental Health and Me Project is I ask a different question each month. And I think that's important because I give the opportunity for anyone to kind of answer it. And I post all the answers because what I say could resonate with you, but it could not resonate with another person. What you say could resonate with so many more people. And I think, obviously, I'm a therapist. I've got a degree. So potentially the way I explain things could be clinical to somebody, and that's not what they need. They need somebody personal or somebody that's actually been through that experience. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to launch that project and kind of just keep it going long term, so that people can realize actually loads of people have gone through mental health. I'm not alone, and I think it can be very isolating, as well as actually giving somebody a voice and think, okay, this is what I experienced. Hopefully this helps you. And even if it doesn't, like, it's nice to be able to get that off your chest, because again, people are getting better and we are getting better at talking about it, but it's not a very easy conversation. It still makes people feel uncomfortable.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing how far you take that project. And everybody listening on, be sure to tune in to the end when you find out how to find that project. And I now think it's a great time to get into the spotlight story. On each episode, I share a mental health story of someone who is famous because I want to let you, the listeners, know you are not alone. I want you to understand that even though someone looks like they're healthy from the outside, they may not be on the inside too. And for today's episode, I will introduce the write-up on Kate Middleton. She is the Duchess of Cambridge and the founder of Heads Together Mental Health Awareness. I wanted to share two quotes, the first in reference to self-care. Quote, talking to someone, whether it's a friend, family member, or teacher, is something you can do to make yourself feel that little bit better. And you can also play your part in helping others to feel better too, whether offering a friendly ear or helping someone in need. Small acts of kindness can go such a long way, but as we help others, we mustn't forget to nurture ourselves by taking the time to focus on the things that make us feel happy too. She added, "No one of us can make a difference alone. I feel so passionately about working together. Thank you to all who are prioritizing the importance of mental health and child development as a whole. I look forward to hearing how your discussions will lead to proactive steps and to an ever more resounding commitment to mentally healthy schools, teachers, and children." Now, with that quote, she went with a different message. And Kimberly, what do you take away from her story relating to mental health?
I think what I take away with most is just kind of trying to bring everyone together as a support system. I think that's definitely something that's lacking. Because I think by having like this universal idea of support and kind of being there to kind of help everybody out, it makes that conversation easier. It normalizes mental health, and people are less likely to hide it, which means that you're basically less likely. If you're not hiding it, then you can find help. And if you find help, like the experience, the pain, it's a lot shorter. And I think that's really important. And I think especially in schools, when I work with clients, we talk about things that happened like from childhood. And what I've realized is when you're an adult and you look back at your childhood experience, it's very easy to be dismissive because you're like, now that you're older and kind of life has kind of done what it's done, you're a lot more resilient. So you see that as kind of, oh, it's neither here or there. But if you go back into your childhood self, that part of you that's still potentially grieving, how a child experiences those words, how a child experiences, you know, that event can be actually really traumatic. What we're just our ability to lock things away is just uncapped. It's amazing. So I think it's, again, important to kind of extend that hand to children and let them know, actually, no, you can speak. And if you're experiencing something, like, tell us and let us allow us to try and help you, because it's just, I think, overall just way better for society and kind of the direction that we all kind of want to be going in.
Incredibly said, Kimberly. Thank you so much. And for coming on the show today as well. I know the listeners are going to see all your value in your episode. I loved how you spoke about your ambitions. You followed what you were passionate about since you were a kid, and then you followed through. It's a great lesson for everybody out there, especially relating to mental health, that if you do what makes you happy, your mental health can improve. Also, you mentioned checking in with yourself, setting boundaries, all great stuff. And it is time for the last word. And I also do this on my other podcast series, That Entrepreneur Show, too, because I want our listeners to really get to know the guests I bring on. Is there something that you would like to share that we did not touch on yet today?
I think it's just to understand that you don't need to be a rock bottom to go to therapy and get help. Like, you don't need to be rocking in a corner. life is such a roller coaster that maintenance is so important. Like, and even when you have gotten help or you have been to therapy, don't ever feel like you're falling off because you have to go back, or don't ever feel like you're falling off because you're no longer in a good place. Mm-hmm. We're basically in a constant state of maintenance. We constantly have to maintain us and maintain our health, our mental health and our general health, because life is ever going. I mean, like, what you went through last year might be similar to what you went through this year, but you're still going to experience it different. So just be kind and compassionate with yourself and allow yourself that kind of space, but never be worried about kind of going backwards. Like, you're never really going backwards. You can only really go forward as long as you're looking at it, I guess, from a positive aspect.
Well said. Would you mind now please taking the time to share your professional social media, website, any ways for our listeners to follow your endeavors or request your services?
Yeah, sure. So my website is www.tomlinsontalks.co.uk. And my main Instagram for my therapy is @tomlinsontalks. And then my mental health and me project Instagram is, MHXME project. Yeah, those are my handles. And if anybody, even if you have any questions or just generally want to chat, like, I'm always happy to answer. You can always just DM me or email me. And if you do want my services, then again, both of those work.
Be sure to check out all her great content. She is here to help. And it is also social media time for the show. And we're on whichever platform you like to use. We're at A Mental Health Break on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. And on Twitter, we're at Podcasts by Lancey. So you have updates from this show and That Entrepreneur Show. Of course, my handles are at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media and YouTube, and my website is vincentalancey.com. If you check out my books, DM me. I would love to hear what you think. We have Mr. Lancey Talks Mental Health, Left for Dead, A Story of Redemption, and How to Transform Your Mindset When the Norm Has Changed. All are on my website now. If you enjoyed today's episode, please continue listening and rate A Mental Health Break 5 stars. I work hard to find value delivering guests for you on each episode. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you all on the next episode of A Mental Health Break.